the great commandment in the law. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says an amazing thing. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. These two commandments. Much of what we think is the most important thing, maybe it's not. These two, he said. What is it? Well, the first one, love the Lord. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. All right, well, I accept that. I guess that's important, but what's that second one? Oh, love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. Now, I want you to understand tonight, folks, that that second one, love thy neighbor as thyself, is not possible without the first one. It isn't going to take place without the first one. It is not something that we have within ourselves. Romans 5 said, scarcely for a righteous man some would even dare to die. I mean, we wouldn't even die for a righteous person, let alone for someone who maybe has done us wrong or is a sinner. 1 John chapter 4 is a great, great passage about that very thing. And I wanted to read a couple of verses from it that I think it'd be a blessing to think about tonight. In verse 7, the Bible says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 16, And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. In 1 John 5, it says, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This morning I preached that he loves me. And because of Calvary, we know he loves me. Because he died on the cross, we know, there's no doubt about it, he loves us. No question. And so as I think about that first commandment, he says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. I can love the Lord. He loves me. He said, the only way I could is he first loved me. Now I'm able to love the Lord. And now that I love the Lord, I can love my neighbor as myself. Why? Because he loves me. You know, next time you're challenged with that neighbor, that spouse, that loved one, that coworker, that person that you don't quite understand what they're doing, understand this. God loves you. God loves you. And if you love God, you can love that neighbor, that coworker, that loved one, that friend, that person that maybe irritates you. Love the Lord. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I was thinking about the little boy, Taylor, in the cantata, and he thought he had to give all of his blood to save his sister. He thought he had to die so that his sister could live. Understand this, Jesus did have to die so that we could live. And you know, loving God is recognizing what he did for you. And loving him, appreciating God, I owe you my whole life. And that's when he says, okay, now love your neighbor as yourself. What do you mean? Well, just as Jesus died for me, the only way I can love my neighbor, the only way I can love Matt Varnum, the only way that I can love Steve Schauber, the way that I can love you, the way I can love others, is I have to forget about myself. I have to die to myself. That's how I love God. I have to die to self. We're not loving God when we have another master. We're loving God when we say, God, you're my master. I'll do whatever you say. And his commandments are not grievous. That's when we love him. And so how can I love Bob Wilbar like I should? I've got to die to myself. How can I love those that are not so lovely around me? I've got to die to myself as Jesus died on the cross, as a little boy in a cantata was willing to die so someone else could live. I've got to be willing to die so that others can live. I was thinking about two stories when I read this cantata. The first one reminded me very much of when God called me to preach. And as most of you have heard, my parents were not saved. They were pretty rough as far as their lives. They'd been divorced for a while and were both not really living the way that they should. But they were not excited when God called me to preach. They were not excited when I told them I was going off to Bible college. And they certainly were never excited when I talked to them about the Lord. And I gave them every argument you could possibly give. I mean, I gave them the plan of salvation. I gave them the Romans road, the John road, the Revelation road, the Isaiah road. I showed them every way possible how to be saved. And basically, all it did was irritate them. And they didn't want to hear it. And I knew that there was going to have to be something else that would take place. And I remember when we were going to college and I gave my last opportunity of trying to witness to my parents, and my mom had gone to Bible school enough. She knew a little bit about the Bible. And I remember her saying, well, she said, when Jesus lived on the earth, he didn't have a place to lay his head. You talk about getting saved. You talk about living for God. Well, you sell everything you have and you just go serve the Lord. And when she said those words, I was making good money at RCA. My wife was working at the Chamber of Commerce. We just bought our first house. We were very young. We had a brand new car. And when she said that, I thought, oh, well, I'll just keep trying to convince her otherwise. But then God called me to preach. And we sold everything that we had. We had a little, not even the biggest U-Haul trailer you could get, because we'd sold everything. We had the smallest U-Haul trailer. We had pretty much all our possessions. And we stopped by and visited my mom on our way to Bible college. And I remember God put it in my heart. And I didn't think about it as we were doing everything, because we just surrendered to the Lord, just do whatever he said. And I remember God put it in my heart to make sure when we opened that trailer that I pointed some things out to mom. And I'll never forget mom standing there as we opened that little trailer. I said, Mom, this is all we have left. I said, do you remember when you told me that if we sold everything we had and just went to serve God, that you'd listen then? I said, Mom, will you listen now? We left, and it was about 2 months later. Mom attended a little Baptist church there down in Central Florida, and the preacher preached on hell, and my mom trusted Jesus as her Savior and was baptized. They didn't have a baptistry, baptized in somebody's swimming pool down there. And I was so excited. My dad was a whole lot tougher, though. My dad threw Carl Hatch off of his porch, told him to get lost. He'd call the police. Everybody I sent to my dad, after I'd talked to my dad would not get saved. But something took place in college. And I say all this to say that, you've heard me say this before, but it is so important that you get it. Not one time did I ever complain to my dad when I was in Bible college. We were some of the first married students down at Pensacola Christian College, and they didn't have any, they were writing the rules about married students when we went. And there were things that I didn't understand. There were things neither of us understood. We had financial problems. We had all kinds of needs. But every time my unsaved father called me, it was, Dad, everything is great. God is so good. Do you know that during 4 years of Bible college, not one time did my father hear a negative word out of these lips? Now, what you say, what are you doing? I didn't know what I was doing then, but I know now that I had to die to myself. Because there was something greater that needed to take place. After about 4 years of phone calls back and forth, my dad, I found him saying every now and then, well, that's a blessing. That's a blessing? I remember one time Dad said, well, amen. But he was listening. I'd given him some of the best plans of salvation I possibly could. But you know what he was listening to? He was listening to my life. Is it real? Mom wanted to know, is it real? Is it real? I'm going to tell you, for them to see it real in our lives, you have to die. You have to die at work. You have to die to griping and complaining. You have to die to worrying. You have to die. You have to die to what you want and your bitterness and your anger. You have to die to all of that because somebody needs the truth. And you have to just love them enough to die. But I think the best story, and I asked permission to tell this story, a little while back in our men's prayer time, Brother Rick Moorman asked for prayer. And he was very serious, had a tear in his eye, and he said, God has convicted me about my coworkers where I work. They need to get saved. And if you fellows will start praying with me for their salvation, he said, I'm gonna talk to them about the Lord. And we started praying. And every week, Rick would give an update on one of his coworkers and how God was working here and God was working there. And we prayed together and we begged God to work in that situation. And Rick was burdened for his co-workers' salvation. And he kept witnessing and talking to him, inviting him to church. And I still remember the day when Rick came to me and he said, Pastor, he said, they fired me. Rick, what? Why? What do you mean they fired you? Well, they fired me because I really believe because I've been telling everybody how to be saved. And my soul winning, they fired me. I said, Rick, what are you going to retaliate? What are you going to do? He said, no. He said, I don't want to affect God working in their hearts. So I'm just going to go on. I'm going to tell you something. That's called dying for someone else. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe some of those coworkers will get saved because they're watching. And I believe Rick will get a better job. I believe that. Don't know it, but I believe it. Understand, folks, God loves me. He loves us. Why don't we love one another enough to sacrifice ourselves? Our petty desires, our wants, our thoughts, our needs, whatever it is. Why don't we love God enough to sacrifice to Him and then love our neighbor as ourselves? Sacrifice for them. Let's bow our heads, please. What do they see? Your loved ones, what do they see in you? Do they see God in you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who'd say,